Like all of our dead, Sufyan still speaks. But because his language is now made of shadow, the day rarely admits him, so he finds his daughter Layla in the dream places by night, where the stars stretch in their dark beds. In the beginning of one dream, he appears to her as she knew him, young as he was when she was a child. Filled in, sturdy, some might say, even a little fat, with a full head of dark brown hair, a brooding man who was also impiously funny. Gradually, as the dream goes on, his face changes shape. Eventually, he takes on the countenance he had at the end, as she last saw him when he lay prostrate, shivering, reduced to a skeleton, surely blind, arguing with Allah for one last second, gasping in those final, awful hours, which went on for days. Then, the dream changes him again, and though Layla doesn't suffer any disbelief, her father no longer appears to her as her father. He is far better than that. He's wearing a lustrous robe. Rather than composed of flesh, Sufyan is cast in imperial jewel light. After searching for him for so long, Layla asks him, "Where do you live now? Where is it that the dead go on?" Sufyan can still speak, but he can't speak to her at length. There are limitations, rules, borders between his land and hers. He points to scribbled equations suspended all around them. She does not understand. So he talks to her for what seems like the entire night about the stuff of life, his life, that green cathedral of so many trees, seen through 7 decades of seasons, then the deserts he had known, yes, the endless sunset graveyards, that brief golden hour passed on, cupping the body of his lover Lila. He loved the curve of her back, and the moan of a violin swept up in a concerto in a New York City amphitheater. And then there was Layla herself, a baby asleep on his chest, her small torso rising and falling like the dawn sea. But before that, her happy swim across the screen of an ultrasound, and after that, the fluorescence haloing the oncologist who first diagnosed his cancer. Later, his granddaughter giggling beneath his tickling fingertips, and earlier, his wife Sarah when she wore the color purple on a spring day soon after they met. His mother, the way she announced a victory in Iskambil by throwing her cards down on the table. 1948, the years following, his father smoking a cigarette and sobbing in secret, his father's rifle, it was a beautiful thing, and the house in Suffolk, its blue door, and later, in Kuwait, chasing after a gazelle through the dunes, or was it a girl named Nafisa trailing past him in red? The day was ending and the charcoal waves were being tossed beneath a summer storm. Yes, the gulf wearing gray, no indigo. It goes on and on, this failure, this drunken weeping, this panic over money, this defeat to blood and bones. The weather is gorgeous, heartbreaking, excruciating. We're making burgers. Let's order the filet mignon. 1 minute, you're swooning. The next, you're dying. You're in love. You're drinking a glass of Barolo. He preferred a Stoli on ice, and oh, those meatballs at Nino's. He was smoking a Parliament, his last. Only once did he snort cocaine from the indented tip, and by God, he was a god that night. They were listening to The Cure, but then, so soon, death comes. It's cancer. It's cancer. It's all over. It's everywhere.